You're still here. You're supposed to go off to class. I'm sorry. Kids, go off to kids' church. Kids, you're very welcome to go off to kids' church. Where's Robert? He's not teaching, is he? Oh, just because you're third grade mentally, you can't go off into the third grade class. I know. I know you were. I heard it in your head. For some reason, I think I've hung around you too long. I hear you start hearing your thoughts. That's kind of scary. I have enough time for talking my own thoughts, let alone somebody else's. Praise the Lord. I think that this morning the Lord is going to, there's a little bit of preachiness going on that's going to come about. And it's going to be a fun, this topic, it's going to fit right in with what God's doing and even with the kids this week and stuff. Because as I look into my life, into the direction of even just where I'm at, and like, I'm thinking that there's nothing that has been anything that I've done that's extra special or extraordinary, except doing the ordinary as by the Spirit of God and letting God do something, letting God have it all. That's the only thing that I've found. I guess even as this message comes about, and you might have to track a little bit with me to get to where God may want to speak to you. And I think if you're open, I think the Lord's going to really speak really, really clear and encouraging. I know preaching sounds like it's like, oh, that's kind of, oh, like it's heavy and weighty and, you know, making you feel like, you know, guilt and condemnation. No, it's not that at all. Preaching the Word of God is about grace and mercy and goodness and kindness and love and compassion that God wants to instill within His people. He says, how can they turn to one who they have not heard? And how can they hear unless they are preached to? In other words, it's the Word spoken that God wants to bring this morning, today, that's going to be fantastic, I believe. So 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to start there. It's a couple of verses, 11 and 12. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Amen. It says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners. Man, I could get stuck in like every other word in this passage, but I'm not going to. I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. What Peter is calling us to do is to keep our conduct honorable and beautiful in the world, before the world, so that people, others can see Jesus in you. The thing is they've got to see it, right? They've got to observe it. It's got to be lived out in front of them. Our lives as Christians, as followers of Jesus, have got to be lived out in front of others. This matter of my faith being a private matter is not biblical. It's not a part of Scripture that I know of. The part that I know of is He says you are light, you are salt, that you're not supposed to be hidden, you're not supposed to be buried, you're not supposed to be covered up. You're supposed to be exposed for all to see. Hello? And so as we look at this, He's wanting Christians to make Jesus look beautiful. That's what He's advocating for us as followers of Jesus, to make Jesus look beautiful, to give glory to God on the day of visitation. In other words, when He returns. And how do we do this? Do you ever get into a position where stuff gets spoken about you, stuff gets said about you, and your first response or your first thing is going to be to defend yourself? To defend yourself and say, okay, well, no, that's not true. That's not true. I need to let you know what is true about me. And that seems to be one of our first positions, our first stances that we take as defense, right? Right? Especially if it's bad, or even worse, if it's not true, right? A lot of us sometimes take defense even if it is true, just because we just don't want to get in trouble. So we just like, yeah, no, it's not me. I'm just going to move on. Like I said, I'm not going to get stuck in, because that's only a small portion. This is only a small portion, because I said I want us to track through this and get to the end, because I believe that the Lord wants to do something awesome. I said it a couple weeks ago, is that our call as Christians is not to conform and not to aggressively protest, but instead to give glory to God by allowing Jesus to work in us and through us. By actually, like even as Glenn just pointed out, that this awesome potential that we have right in the midst of our workplace and our peers and our friends and our society, our governments, to have favor. Do you realize? I mean, that's so awesome to me. I don't know if maybe just the Lord struck that so clear the last couple weeks in my own life, how God wants to give us favor with others, our peers, our co-workers, our bosses, those around us that don't know the Lord. He is intentionally wanting to use you to bring favor into other people's lives. You know what? Do you realize what grace actually means? I'll just sum up grace in just two words. Divine favor. Very simple, right? So if God's grace is working through you, then His divine favor is working through you. And if His divine favor is working through you, what ought to be happening is His divine favor ought to be kind of spilling over into from your life into other people's lives. To where when they see you lived out in front of them, this thing called Christianity, which I know it's got kind of a bad name now. I mean, I don't know if it's bad. It's just weird. It's like, what is a Christian anyway? We're not really sure. Everybody can say they're a Christian. They call themselves Christians. Different faiths even call themselves Christians. So it's like, what is a real Christian when they look at us? Well, it needs to be looking like Jesus. And that's the only thing that does look like a real Christian. You guys with me? I know, like I said, it's going to get preachy, but it's encouraging. I don't want to say this isn't condemning. This is like, hey, I was just blessed and encouraged. So God's divine favor is so cool. I've discovered it to be so real and true and impactful everywhere I go. I mean, we have really a neat thing here. This church, the Salt Mine, is unique. And yes, the building's kind of fallen apart, and is there a word as snarly looking from the outside? But it's kind of snarly looking, and people think it's a bar, and that's okay. But I'd like to make it look better. And believe me, there's some of the things about this place that bug me, and I'm like, dang, I wish I had the time to fix this and that and this and that and upgrade this and that and remodel this and that. And I'm always like, and I'll probably be that way until I'm not able to do anything. I'll always, even after that. Anyway, with all that, there's so much favor that we have in this community. It blows my mind. It really does blow my mind as a God-centered Christian organization called the church. That's who we are. We have so much favor. I mean, even when people are trying to shut us down and sue us for the silliest things, God's favor is on us. Those that are in charge of things, I shared a few weeks ago about the whole situation with, I got calls that week from all the city officials. All that week, all the city officials. I mean, these are the people that when I here's the thing is I was able to, they asked me to do the invocation at the city council meeting for the December city council meeting. They have a city council meeting once a month, every second Tuesday of the month. And they say, can you come and give the invocation? Absolutely, sure. This is the third or fourth time I've done it, and it's fun. I know everybody there, but the whole city council, and then all of the people sitting to the right and the left are all the officials and leaders of this community. And the thing that it struck me as kind of favorable is every single one of them have my personal cell phone number to contact me directly. And I thought, that's not an accident. That's not me doing anything. God has done that. God has given us favor. And every one of them called me and said, hey, this is kind of silly. What are we going to do here? What's going on? And it's like, you know, let's get it handled. Let's take care of it. We want to make sure that you guys do not ever quit doing what you're doing in this community. And I said, yeah, I know we don't want to either. And so praise the Lord. It was like, there's so much favor that we have in this community. It blows my mind. I don't even know if I could explain it. It's so awesome. That's what I'm saying is, there's not a conformity to the pattern of this world, and there's not this aggressive, angry protest that's like, God, shut them down, we're different, and we're... Excuse me, sorry. Instead, it's a working in the system, giving glory to Jesus, using what God has given us to do right here where we're at. Are you guys with me a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You realize that, though, that can be applied to every single one of your lives wherever you're at? Every single one of your lives, wherever you're at. There's a few of you in here that work for government organizations. And the challenge, I know the challenge is very real. But what's really ironic, I got to tell you guys this, and this is, it ought to a little bit wake some of you up. The few people that I know that work for government organizations are the most vocal and bold in their workplace, giving glory to God. And God has not allowed them to get fired for talking about the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Right? Glory to God. Right, brother? Where's my other brother out there? Mark, where you at? Jesse? Yeah. And God just keeps on giving them courage and boldness to say, I belong to Him. I'm doing His bidding and His work wherever I'm at. I'm really serious. At the expense of their job, yes, it could cost them if somebody, but God has given them favor. Given them favor. And I want to get to, I better move on because that's not in my notes. None of that was that whole last bit. hallelujah. God is good all the time. So I'm going to get right smack into it because it's good stuff. The truth is that every one of you that has committed their life to Jesus, you are an ambassador. You are an ambassador of the highest ranking individual ever to exist ever. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are an ambassador to Him. Think about that. Let that just sink in for a minute, for a second. And take that to another level, wherever you're at. Because here's the thing, is the truth is, as a witness to the Lord, as a witness. Well, let me read. This is a really neat verse here. I did read a Bible verse. John 1:6. John, yeah, sure. Or did I finish, Peter? I don't know. Yeah, I kind of just went through it real quick. Yeah, we're done there. John 1:6. I got to get to it in my Bible. Here it is. This is pretty cool. Said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. You realize that you are a witness sent from God to bear witness of Jesus. Now, I want us to really, yeah, amen, and let's get really what that is and how deep that is and what that is calling me to be and to do, is that we are, as a witness, we're a light. We are actually a window to the truth for the lost. Now, you understand that? You're a window to the truth for the lost. People will look in you, through you, to you, as a window to find truth, to find hope, to find purpose. If you have Jesus, you realize you're the only window to the only way, truth, and life for anybody's life? No, I mean that. There's no great perfect job, there's no great perfect relationship, there's no great perfect drug that is ever going to suffice and be and give anybody any peace, hope, and love that they're actually looking for. It's only Jesus, and you're that window. That's awesome. Right, guys? You guys all know it. Hello? You guys doing okay over there? You're missing one. Where's Roy? Is he laying down? Oh, he's in the bath. Uh-oh. Hebrews 12:1 says that, in fact, join the cloud. Join the cloud. Amen. I knew Mike would think that was funny. Who said that? It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us and ties us up, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The author and the finisher. Oh, that's awesome. So that's where we're going to go now, real quick. God wants to use you as a window to reveal Jesus to others so that they can taste and see that the Lord is good. And in turn their hearts toward God. I got stuck in the middle of a conversation the other night, and an hour and a half conversation on how it was my responsibility to see to it that somebody's life was going in the right direction. And is there truth to that? There's some element of truth to that. Yes, but there's also this element of truth that God has so ingrained within me, and God has taught me and showed me so clearly, is that unless one turns their heart to the Lord, it doesn't matter anything. In fact, let's just go there real quick. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 14. Because I need you to hear this passage of Scripture. It's so dynamically deep. And this is where I'm going to spend the majority of the time. Although I spend already a lot of time on other stuff. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. In the midst of the conversation, they finally came around to where it really does depend on a person's heart to be turned to the Lord for anybody to really get free. Because this scripture backs it up. He says this, verse 14, it says, but their minds were blinded. Whose minds were blinded? He's referring to the Israelites, the children of Israel, who could not look at Moses because Moses had to put a veil over his face because the glory that was passing away. He says, but their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. Because the veil is taken away only in Christ. You guys hear that, what I'm saying there? In other words, I could come up to somebody, a friend of mine here, and I could take this word and just bam, 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 beat them over the head with it, and just do whatever it takes to make sure that he straightens out and flies right. Right? Can I? But what is he saying here? It doesn't matter how much I beat somebody over the head with the Bible, until their heart is turned to the Lord, until the veil is lifted, it doesn't matter. There's blinders there. There's a veil that covers their heart. Oh, do you guys realize that a veil that covers your head eventually covers your heart? It goes all the way down, right? And it covers you. And then it covers, if you're not careful, that veil, that continuous veil, can cover even your steps, and it'll trip you up. Ooh. That wasn't in my notes either. That was a freebie. Yeah. Their minds were blinded. Until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The veil is taken away. Isn't that awesome? So then what is our objective? Dude, it seems to me like there's only one objective here. One objective. Right? Is to portray Jesus as he is, be the open window so that people's hearts can be turned to the Lord. And so that you, as I portray Jesus, as I live, as I grow, as I walk, as I do things, as my work day, as I love my wife, my children, whatever it is I'm doing, is my life painting a picture, portraying Jesus to where others' hearts are being turned to the Lord. Because my life, if it's not doing that, it really is of no value. I mean, because if you're just looking at me being a good person and never looking to Jesus, finding Jesus in anything I do, what have I gained? Absolutely nothing. I mean, there's really nothing to have gained. You know, maybe some friends on Facebook, you know, because that's everything, you know, right? Whether or not everybody likes my selfie or not, right? Isn't that all that matters in life anymore? You realize you do know what a selfie is, right? I think it's in the dictionary now, right? Yeah. Hey, we live in a selfie-centered world right now. Big time. That's all it is. I don't even know. My phone is an iPhone. How many of you have iPhones? Go to your photos and look at it. When you go to photos, it'll tell you how many selfies you've taken. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's because you push the button to reverse it and you take it on yourself. Yeah. And, 10 years ago, are you serious? Who would have ever thought of turning a camera on yourself? I mean, can you imagine? Actually, I did. I did it. I gotta tell you a story. Robin's not in here. Where'd Robin go? Man, there's no. Oh, Roy's back, so Robin, okay. I had to do a stucco job in Hawaii. Wow, it was horrible. It was torture. It was torture. I mean, I had to be there for a whole week. And I know, I'm really playing this up. And the whole week I had to work every single day from sunup to sundown. Well, the last day, I worked hard every single day. So that the last day, I got done half the day. And the half of the day, I had the whole half of the day for myself. And so I drove, and it was on the big island, and I actually drove all the way from one side to the other island, drove the whole island. I mean, I know but it was big, and I stopped at every tourist spot that there was, and I bought a disposable camera, and my wife, I remember her saying one time, it's like, I don't like pictures with just like scenery. There's got to be a picture with somebody in it. So I thought, well, okay, click, click. I got back, and she developed that, and she started laughing. I think to this day, oh, okay. She's like, what the heck is this? All you couldn't see barely any scenery because it was a stupid disposable camera, but all you see is my stupid face in there. I didn't know how to take selfies then, and now I've been well trained in taking a selfie, and I don't know where all that was coming from or where that is. I don't know. Where? Yeah. Well, I know. I think I have one. I've never used it. It's still in the box, but Where am I at? Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Again, our only objective simply needs to portray Jesus so that hearts, my heart, and maybe that's the biggest key, is keeping my heart directed and turned towards Him. Because as my heart is turned towards Him, then that's where others' hearts can actually see that in my walk with God, I'm making Jesus attractive, because Jesus actually is pretty awesome. Yeah. I mean, His grace really is amazing. You really do deserve to go to hell. I'm sorry to inform you of that, but every single one of you are sinners, and sin is subject to judgment, and that judgment is eternal separation from God, which is hell. So the amazing grace of our living, loving Savior, Jesus, is amazing. And I cannot help but be passionate about how much He loves me and how much of His life that He gave. And I know this is every week. It's like, oh, I can't help it. But we need to be passionate about who Jesus is in us and fall in love with Him to where now our only objective is to portray and paint a window. Be a window. Be a window for people to see Jesus through you and just look right directly at Jesus. You guys get that? Get that. Man, live that every single day. You look for opportunities throughout every part of your day. Man, because some days really do, they just are difficult. Some days stink. The work is hard. I'm not feeling good. You know, I could find all kinds of excuses about why I should be a grump today. I mean, and there's probably valid ones. But can I find a reason to say, yeah, but God has placed me here as a window for somebody to see Jesus through me? And it's at that point, at that moment. And how do you get people to turn their hearts to the Lord? That's just a question, just a thought. Go ahead, share it if you can.
We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God.
Amen.
For our safety is made sin, we do no sin, so that in Him we might be the righteousness of God. Therefore, we implore you on the behalf of God. Because God is making His appeal.
Amen.
He is begging us to be reconciled to Him through you.
Amen. Amen. And that's exactly what he's calling each and every one of us to do. To be ministers of reconciliation. And that's why I wanted to, I asked the question, how do we do that? Well, he kind of answers it in the next couple verses. If you want to just go there, we can real quick. Verse 17, he says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. But we all with unveiled face, we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So how does it happen? It's only by this Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God working in you and through you. You simply just aligning yourself and saying, I turn my heart to you, God. You realize that as we turn our heart to God, the veil lifts. But there's this other dynamic that happens. Not only does the veil lift and the blinders come off, we start to see clearly, but we actually, our thinking, our world actually turns right side up. Our understanding, our comprehending, our processing turns right side up. In other words, I'm not processing things through a selfie-centered world. Instead, I'm processing things, how can Jesus use me in this situation? When I turn my heart to the Lord, I'm looking to be used by the Lord instead of looking for to use the Lord. There's a thing that we do. We talk about seeking the Lord. I'm going to ask you a question. If you are really seeking the Lord, I want you to just think about this for a second. If you, let's just get like really just weird, okay, for a second. This is fun. I know. Let's just say you were seeking the Lord and you followed your GPS to where you could, there he was. And you came and you knocked on his door. And he opened the door and what would you want him to say? The first thing you'd want him to say?
Hello, Brian. Well done.
Yeah. Well done. Well, here's what I'm going to challenge your heart in seeking him is this, is would you be looking for him to say, here I am? Or would you be looking for him to say, here you go? You guys get that? Get that real quick. When we seek the Lord, seek to just be with him. And when we be with Jesus, and when we be with the Lord, awesome. I'm an edumacated. Nah. I didn't even plan that one. That was good. I know. Yeah, really? When we are with Jesus, that's when he is glorified in us, because we start to be transformed into his image. When we spend time with Jesus, we start to become like Jesus. And that's when people see Jesus in us and through us. That's the only way it works, guys. The only way it works. There's no, I won't do it again, there's no beating over the head with the Bible. But there's a lifting of a veil when I turn my heart. Now I read this, and it's like it's meat, it's honey, it's rich. I can't get enough of it. It's deep. I go into places, and I'm like, oh my goodness, are you serious? What is he saying there? I've never seen that before. I've got it highlighted, and I've read it 10 times, you know, times 100. And now he's saying this to me? That's so awesome.
And it's my favorite.
And it's my favorite verse again. But I do got to share this, guys. I got to share this. The complete opposite is true. When our hearts turn to the Lord, he not only removes the blinders, lifts the veil, turns our world right side up. Do you guys realize this? Go back to this real quick. You guys realize that? Have you ever studied, anybody take like advanced biology or the anatomy of the body or something in school? I mean, way back in high school, I still remember this like little thing where the eye, our eyes are so magnificent. We can't even figure them out. They're so just fabulous. They're amazing. That the eye actually, when it sees stuff, when the lens, it actually sees it upside down. I mean, did you realize that? And the neurons in your brain that connects to your eye flips it right side up. That's pretty cool. I don't know if you realize that. I don't know if it's like, I'm often thinking, it's like, I wonder if that person, like, it just isn't working, you know? Makes you think, doesn't it? But isn't that true of, like, how we are? There's like a spiritual analogy in that, or a parable, if you will, that when we turn our heart to the Lord, it's like, that's what faith does. It's like it flips things right side up, where we start seeing the world right side up. Instead of seeing everything as evil and the enemy and the thing that's horrible and the thing, yeah, we can see bad and identify it and say, okay, that's not a way to go. That's but we have wisdom in that. And we have wisdom in everything that is a part of our lives. And God he flips the stuff that's upside down right side up. He's capable of doing that in every single one of us. Amen, double amen, triple amen even. Because that's awesome. I need that. I don't know about you guys, but I need some right side up flipping. My life was dysfunctional to the core. I mean, there's stuff in my life that I'm thinking, man, I'm still discovering has jacked me up big time. I need some right side up flipping. And it's not stuff that God is that you know, there's stuff that I agreed to and I participated in. And I screwed some stuff up. None of you can relate to that kind of stuff, but that's just kidding. Real quick, the opposite is true. When our hearts turn away from God, now what happens? Now what happens? Our hearts turn away. Here's what Robin and I were talking about this the other morning, and she didn't realize it, but I was like, ooh, 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 ooh. I was like writing this down, but in Exodus chapter 9, verse 34, this is what happened really quick, and this is interesting. I felt like this was exactly what the Lord was saying here. This is in dealing with Pharaoh. Verse 34 of Exodus chapter 9, it says, "And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more, and he hardened his heart and his servants." In his servants, all those that were around him and under him, their hearts were also hardened. So there was a impact. There was direct impact to people around him because of the hardness of his heart. You say, how did that heart get hardened? Well, go back to chapter 7 in verse 3. He says, and this is God says this. It says, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt." See, you see, when our hearts turn away from God, you leave God no objective, no alternative, I mean, but to harden your heart. What do we do? Are we screwed? What do? We only. The veil is taken away. The heart is softened. Only where? In Christ, brother. Amen. In Christ. That's it. By His grace, through His mercy, by faith that we walk in Him. Our objective is solely and very simply to keep our hearts turned towards the Lord. That's it. That's it. Man, what a relief. What a relief. I don't have to worry about every single one of you doing all the right things anymore. All I have to do is encourage you to turn your heart to the Lord and paint the best picture, be the biggest, brightest window with the brightest light shining through to where you can see Jesus in me, to where that your heart will be drawn towards Him and say, I want to do that too. I want to turn my heart to the Lord too. Hello? That's our only objective as Christians. That's really, is it not? I mean, I know that there's a lot more to this than that. I know that. But man, that needs to be our sole focus. Keep our heart turned to the Lord. And then keep and pray fervently. Pray with everything that you've got for those that you know that you love, that their hearts are turned away from God right now. Listen. Pray with everything you've got and be the biggest, brightest window that their hearts would be turned to the Lord. This isn't going to work by just beating... I won't do it. By just beating him with it. It was. I just wanted to so bad. That's what we got to do. There's a little saying that, and walk humbly before God. Walk humbly before God. You realize that we impress others with our strengths, but we connect to others through our humble weaknesses. And if the window is to be an opening for people to see Jesus. Yeah, we're to live lives that are honorable and glorifying to God. But man, I got to tell you guys, and I got to tell you this, some of the best opportunities to make that window even bigger and brighter is to humbly come before people and say, I screwed up, brother. I'm a sinner. And I'm sorry I offended you. I'm sorry I hurt you. And when we walk humbly, because we really do, Robert prayed the prayer about, we don't have the right. We don't have these rights to, I get so many, my Christian friends even, it's like, well, it's the principle of the matter. And they want to put their foot down. It's a principle of the matter that we put our foot down and we don't let anybody cross this line. I'm like, oh, you just made that window really, really tiny for me to see Jesus in you over your principle of the matter. Your principle became this massive blinder or veil. And don't get me wrong, there's principles that do matter. That's not it, but what matters most? Well, in what matters, but what matters most? That's a good question. Yeah, let's stop and think about it. He asked me, are there principles that really do matter? Yeah, that's another discussion. Another discussion. John Piper says this. It's his most famous saying. It says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied and delighted in Him. Amen. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied and delighted in Him. Just fall in love with Jesus, brothers and sisters. And if you don't know Him this morning, I'd like to introduce you to Him. So let us pray. Father God, we just thank You for Your love for us. Your love is so rich and so deep and so fantastic. And I know that even in this room, there's a very real possibility that there's somebody here that hasn't met You, Jesus. So I'm going to ask You right now, Lord Jesus, by the power of Your Spirit, just reveal Yourself to each and every one of us right where we're at. Show Yourself and Your love to each and every one of us, how much You gave. You gave Your life so that we can have life. And a simple surrender to You to say yes to You, Jesus. I say yes to You, Jesus. And I don't even know. Hearing this guy talk about turning my heart to You, like, I don't even know You. How do I turn my heart over to somebody I even know? So I'm asking that by Your Spirit, because it's only by Your Spirit that we can do this, that You reveal, You show us Your love, Your mercy, Your goodness, and Your kindness. That while I was yet a sinner, You died for me. You died for me, gave Your life for me, to where I have no other choice but to say yes to You, Jesus. And then there's us here that we're balancing. We're teetering on our hearts going this way and that, and whether it's of this world and of myself. And Lord, I'm asking You, by Your grace, to fill my heart, to fill it so deep with a love for You that it can go only one way, and that's towards You. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to You. Amen.
Amen.